Welcome back to Roaming with Restless Women. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Tucker Miller. Tucker is the founder and CEO of Onward Leadership, a company that works with high-performing teams and forward-thinking companies to build leaders who are seen, heard, and respected, no matter how challenging the environment. And they're challenging these days, I know.
Yes.
Tucker has a unique background in law, HR, corporate leadership, executive coaching, and storytelling. She helps leaders clarify their next best move, communicate with impact and influence, lead with confidence and authority, navigate grace with courage and grace. Let's see, navigate change with grace. I'll edit that out.
That's okay.
Earn trust and get rewarded for their true value. She also partners with HR and legal teams to design and deliver leadership solutions for organizations that create real, measurable impact. Finally, she's the author of The First Four Words, a fresh approach to starting conversations with ease and confidence, in which she shares her practical strategies to build trust, spark collaboration, and drive results. Welcome, Tucker. It's great to have you here.
Thank you. I'm sorry for the length of the introduction, but I think you hit every box. You covered it all.
Good. Well, I want to make sure to give you the credit for being here. I want people to get to know who you are.
Thank you.
So tell me a little bit about how you fell into the leadership and coaching space.
I have to say, I don't know if there was ever a time that I wasn't in leadership in some fashion, but I didn't recognize it. As a child, you don't really notice it. As a middle schooler and a high school student, you don't really notice. In fact, I might have tried to avoid some of those leadership moments. But growing up in a military family, I was surrounded by leadership demonstrated every single day in some very, very visible ways. And I think it had to be integrated into my personality. And then over time, I gradually grew into myself as we do into our 20s and discovered I love talking with people. I love business. I'm very passionate about organizational dynamics. And I majored in business, but went on to law school thinking, well, that'll be the way to help more people. I hadn't heard enough bad lawyer jokes to deter me. Although my mom always told a bunch of them, and I said, "Mom, come on." But I went into law, and ultimately, after meeting and falling in love with another trial attorney, and both of us looking at each other saying, "We'd like to start a family, and our lives are not working. What can we do?" We both found the careers in law that no one told us about in law school, and mine led to human resources. It led to positions in starting my own business, leading teams, a variety of opportunities that came from that. Always leadership being the through line in all of it, but my passion for helping leaders has been, as I've matured over time and gained experience and insight and stories, as we've talked about, that's really where I want to help the next generation of leaders.
That's excellent. We both are definitely, excuse me, interested in making sure the next generation has the tools that they need to be successful. So, okay, I'm going to ask you a tough question, but I think it's going to be fun. There are so many coaches out there, leadership coaches, executive coaches, life coaches, this coach, that coach. I'm one too. So, no despairing that. But what is the thing that you feel like you bring as a coach that can really is your differentiator? Let me just put it
So
that way.
one differentiator I have is that because of my backgrounds in HR and law, I do work with a category of executives who have some behavioral coaching opportunities. So that may be a category of intervention or correction where I'm called in, usually by HR or a lawyer, general counsel or law firm, to come and work directly with that. So that's one special ingredient, but it's not the one I lead with. In fact, if you go to my website, you probably won't find it. What I want to work with are leaders who are looking for that last 5 to 10% of what does it take to get to the next level. And when you work with senior and high performing leaders, that difference between the next level becomes incrementally small. And it's so fascinating to start to think about what is that tiny little grain of sand that chafes everyone around you that you don't even notice. You've gotten so accustomed or callous to it. And it's been interesting working with people to help them with all the, how can I feel more confident? There's a general category, but invariably there's some little piece that's been holding them back. And what I find is for coaches and for others, the work that we do and are passionate about is usually to fill the void of what we didn't have at some other time in our life. And I see that pattern time and time again. And so for me, when I think about my own career, there were two times where I got a surprisingly tiny insight that became game changing. One time it was, Tucker, when you come into a meeting, you can come off kind of intimidating and negative. And I had to stand back because that was not what was in my heart, but all my legal training, where's the risk here? What could go wrong? How do we manage that? All of my skills were actually impacting the demeanor and the impact that I was having on people as we were trying to innovate and think about creative ideas. And the one little insight that I got was if you could just show up and be optimistic, even just a little bit of optimism would change everything. And it did. And the other time that I got that little tiny piece was I was getting some feedback from someone I reported to, and they said, everybody in the company loves you. We all think you're wonderful. Your results are great. There's nothing that I wouldn't change except for one thing. As well as you get along with everybody, we need you to get along better with this one person. If you could just have a better relationship with this one person, everybody would relax and we'd all get along a lot better. I can do that. And I did. And I find that that's often something that happens with people that I'm working with is just one little thing. When you find what that is, can change everything. Interestingly, one of the things I find is the thing that needs to change sometimes is the story other people have been telling about you. So figuring out a way to rework that. And I know that's a piece that I can see resonates with you, but it's not always in
100%.
yourself.
It's so funny that you say that because one time I wrote a LinkedIn post, just based out of my own frustration of I'm trying so hard to change this one thing that has plagued me. And it's not, well, that could be a huge thing, but for me, it was that negativity that you were talking about because I am prone to look for all the risks, all the things that could go wrong, so that I can be prepared for them, not knowing that just the energy that I was bringing into the room, not necessarily anything that I had said or had suggested, it was literally the energy that I was bringing into the room. And I had received that feedback in tiny bits over my entire career. And, shame on me for not realizing it until, way late in my formal career, until I started my own business. And sometimes I have to remind myself, even in my own business, Julie, what energy are you bringing to this particular task? Because, it's probably going to fail if you're bringing that what if everything is going wrong kind of energy,
And
you
even if you're
know?
saying all the
So,
right words, I like how you're saying energy.
yeah,
You could
it
say all the right
is.
words, you could
Oh,
smile in the
yeah.
right way, but that if your energy is fear-based, sort of what they say about equine theory, therapy, that the horses can always feel it. I think dogs always know. We have those mirrors sometimes so close to our face, we can't quite focus in and see what's going on. But that energy really makes a difference. And it's hard to shift the energy if you don't have that kind of awareness or the feedback that you're talking about. But you can. You're coaching yourself now. That's
Oh,
perfect.
absolutely. I've had to. And I have to watch out for that because it somewhere in my background, I was taught to watch out for bad things happening. And a lot of us are like that without realizing it, I think.
And as humans, we have this little amygdala lizard part of our brain that is very well adapted over thousands of years to do exactly that. So the
Yeah, to
trick
protect
is,
you.
how do I calm that little piece of my brain down? How do I have that conversation within myself about, I appreciate what you're doing. I understand what's happening. You want to keep me safe, healthy, and conserve energy. And now here's how we're going to manage this going forward. So moving the conversation that happens in our head, where it's not an automatic and it's not the truth of who you are, is just chemicals doing what they have evolved to do, like the chemicals that, tell our lungs to breathe, our stomach to digest, and then moving from that chemical reaction or response to prefrontal cortex. And here's how we're going to move forward. And you're doing that when you're having that conversation with yourself. But I usually ask people to name their lizard because
It.
once you give it a name, now you're having a conversation. And mine is Gladys, the nosy neighbor from Bewitched, who was always looking to see
Oh,
if everybody was,
yes.
are they doing what they're supposed to do? Are they following the rules? Is something amiss? What do I need to do? Should I call the police? All this, that's my lizard in the back of my brain. And so once I know, if I do something new or take on a new challenge, Gladys is going to show up somewhere. And so I could just, I've been expecting you, and here's what we're going to do. It makes it a lot easier.
It does make it a lot easier. And in my change management practice, when I'm helping large groups of people go through this, really, I'm wrangling all the lizards.
Yes,
Right? I'm
absolutely.
helping to calm all the lizards
All the
in the room.
lizards.
In my coach
And
training, we actually
normalizing it.
called it, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry too. I got excited about what you said, but you're normal. Nothing's gone wrong, and it's not you that's charging like that. It's not who you are as a person. And I think people often feel a lot of shame about that lizard part of their brain, but it's totally normal. It's human. It's what it's supposed to do. And if we can find a way, just as you said, to calm it down, now we can meet each other.
And everybody's got one.
At
Everybody's
least
got
one.
a, and the funny thing is, in my coaching training, I went to IPEC to get my coaching training. And IPEC is very focused on, that's the name of the company, is very focused on energy and energy leadership. And they call the lizard, they call that the gremlin. So
Oh,
name your
there you
gremlin, have
go.
a conversation with your gremlin. What are
I've
you,
never
you
heard
know?
that.
What are you talking? It's definitely something that when you can actually objectivize, and make it real, but all and make it controllable,
That's
that
right.
makes all the difference. It's
It
the
just
awareness of it.
neutralizes it. And to welcome, I'm doing something new here. So come on into the space and let's work it out.
When you were talking about grandma or the lizards, so describe some of the challenges that you're hearing from coaches just within the last, or not from coaches, from leaders, just within the last maybe couple of years. What are the biggest things they're dealing with right now?
Well, there's a category that we've all been hearing for years, that younger generation, that other, and I think, let's think back to when you were that younger generation. Some of it's Very age appropriate or experience appropriate. So let's not vilify and blame here. Let's just
Right.
look at it as, a natural progression.
It's
But,
developmental.
it's developmental, it's normal, and you were that to somebody else at one time. And just kind of let's so that's been perennial. I mean, I've been hearing
Oh,
that for
wow.
25 years. So that continues to be there. How do we work in this new environment? How do we get people to come back? How do we work in a hybrid? How do I build relationships when it's like this? And urgency, urgent, urgent. How can we move faster? How can we be, there's this volume of urgent, anxious energy and competition. And I have to think, I like what you're saying about IPEC around focusing on the energy. I think, because I had a day yesterday where I was on screen all day, and then I went to my evening meditation time and I could not stop my eyes from vibrating. And I thought, this is interesting that there's this physiological response to just all of this screen time. And I'm sure there's a ton of research that would validate it, but to actually experience it in that way, I thought this is really challenging. It's exhausting for our brains to only have a two-dimensional kind of experience with people as we're trying to deepen trust, encourage each other, build relationship. And so I think that's a big challenge. And then we live in a very uncertain, highly escalated set of circumstances right now, very unclear from one moment to the next. And none of us seem to really be happy with what we're seeing, and we still keep looking for validation of, yeah, this is bad and that's bad and that's bad. And I was encouraged. Let's look at a few things that are actually going well. Maybe
Yeah,
there's a
even if
few
you have to
good.
get down to the nitty-gritty details of your own personal life. What can you be grateful for right now?
Absolutely. And it seems a little bit forced, and people will push back, but didn't you see what's happening and what's in the news? And I understand all of that, but if you're constantly firing a brain that's already on fire, you're underserving yourself and the people around you. So
And you're burning yourself out on things you
that's right.
cannot control.
And when you think about, is that how you want to show up as a leader? Is that the way that you're leading and serving? Because you're just firing even more of that. So I don't know what that top of mind issue might be, but it's definitely a phenomenon. And one of the challenges that I've seen with leaders in the midst of all of this and the high stakes of messing up, getting it wrong, being the next headline and all that, they're sort of defaulting a little bit to doing a little less or saying a little less or talking to the easy and not talking to the hard. And that's ultimately what got me to write my book w around the first four words, because I kept having leaders say, well, I would have had that conversation that we talked about, and I know I should have, and blah, blah, blah. The response I would get when I asked how it went was, it didn't go. Why not? Because I didn't know what to say. And that's not a vocabulary issue. That's not a lack of learning and insight or wisdom. It's the fear. That
It's an
fear has gotten.
avoidance.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to avoid it. And so I thought, how can I help people move beyond the avoidance, move beyond the fear? And frequently they're not going to say I was too scared to have the conversation, but they will say, I didn't have time for the conflict. I already knew what the person was going to say. They have all the reasons, but it ultimately the avoidance is based in some sort of fear or resistance. So how do you overcome that? And
Well, real
that
fear of
seems to be
resistance is fear
universal.
of emotion. Fear of emotion. I often say that because when I coach leaders, especially through a change, a big, organizational change or whatever, they will often say exactly what you said. I didn't have time.
I
I
didn't know.
can't spend all this time dealing with this drama. They hate dealing with drama. Well, they hate dealing with drama because, yes, it is not productive. sometimes, most of the time. But what they don't realize is if they use time to deal with that drama right then, they're authentic about it, and they recognize that it's just other people's fear that needs to be expressed.
Right.
Let them express it, get it out of their system. Yes, you're going to have to revisit it sometimes, but let the people process how they're feeling about whatever transition we're going through.
That's right.
Because if you don't, just like with a person, it builds up, builds up, builds up, builds up, and then you have a big volcano, take place when you're flipping the switch for the new ERP you just implemented that cost
Right.
you $20 million. Yeah.
Well, what's
So
funny
let's
about
deal with that
that is
emotion up front.
they've already decided before they've
Oh,
had any of the interaction that there
that it's
will
gonna,
be drama. And it's like
yes.
most of the drama right now, because you've not delivered anything, is just your own personal drama.
Yeah.
And I refer to it more as the discomfort, not the fear of the emotion itself, but the fear of being uncomfortable.
Right.
And when you're in a leadership position, being uncomfortable in front of everybody, has a next level impact. And so thinking about there might be people who are hearing what you have to say, who are so excited to see that you're
Yes.
leading in an effective, authentic, transparent way. You are the voice of calm, but only if you show up to deliver it.
And you are calm about the decision. You know why it was made. You know what the benefits are going to be, and you're authentic in delivering that. If you
That's
are
right.
secretly resistant yourself, that is going to come through.
Yeah, they'll smell it.
Yep, they'll smell it
Yeah.
and jump right on.
Yeah.
So you indicate in your bio that your workshops, they're not lectures, but experiences. So what are some of the most popular topics that you're being called on to deliver workshops for these days?
One of them is, how can I be a better leader in the context of the world that we live in? So, that covers a lot. And a lot of the
Yeah.
workshop development I do is very tailored to tell me what's going on in your business right now. And that's really fun, but really looking for the ways to tailor it to bring real life challenges in. And the interactive, immersive part is, all right, let's put that on the table. And let's practice it. And back in the day when I started doing, I've been doing training for a really long time. When I started doing it, nobody wanted to do a role play.
Oh,
And I
heavens no.
would, no
That's like the
way,
kiss of
no.
death.
And
Yeah.
so then I would sneak it in and I said, this will be a business simulation. And then they would be like, and then suddenly they were in it. So whatever we call it. But what I noticed in the last 5 years or so, where's the role play? If I don't put a role play in there, I'm going to get called out. I want to
Right.
practice it. I at least want to talk it through in a breakout session. I want the real life practicum in a safe place. And so,
Right.
in terms of the, you asked what are the workshop contents, it's wrestling with the real life challenges that your leaders are facing or you as a leader are facing. And it can cover a variety of things.
Oh,
How do we
yeah.
deal with conflict? How do we navigate things? How do I give feedback? How do I respond to feedback? How do I welcome feedback and respond in a way that keeps the door open? So, all those things that we've been talking about often work their way into a workshop. And then getting people either in small group, large group discussion, reacting to a scenario, role playing or business simulation, those are all key.
Perfect. Well, I know that you have written this book, so tell me about the forewords. And show me a
So,
copy if you have it there.
I
You
have
have a
it. Of course,
copy?
I have it.
Of
Yep,
course
there it
you have
is.
it.
Oh,
Let
it's
me
bright.
see the
All right,
first
it's
four
shiny.
words.
Let
I see
me.
it. The first four words.
All right, the first four words. I'm going to turn the blur off. Maybe you can see it better. There it
Oh
is. The
yeah,
first four
there we
words.
go.
Okay, there
I
we go.
love it.
Thank you for asking. So, one of the questions I always get from people, what are the four words? You mean there's a script?
Oh
Is there
yeah.
four?
They want
It's
the
sort of
script.
like, Yeah, it's like that book, The One Thing, and you have to read halfway through the book to find out what the one thing is. I said, this isn't that. There's no one script, but it is a strategy to overcome the things that we've been talking about. And I found, as I was puzzling, how can I help my clients, my leaders, get past the fear? What if there was a way to make that conversation that we were afraid of so simple that you couldn't not have it? Essentially, how do I shorten the distance between sitting on the couch and having the conversation? What would it take? And I had this idea. It came, this is hiking during the pandemic idea. And I was thinking about that game show, Name That Tune. And there would be a part in the, yeah, I know that game. So there was a part where the contestants would be told something about a tune, and then they had to, vibe back and forth about, I could name it in 8 notes and I could name it in 6 notes. And I was like, I wonder if there's a sweet spot for how many words are just enough, but not too many, that you could be heard and it could be clear. It wouldn't be too abrupt or dismissive. What's the number that would be just enough to really shorten that distance? So I got out pen and paper. I was writing down conversations, what was working, what didn't work. I told my family, so I had adult kids that had come home during the pandemic. I told my family about it. We put out butcher paper. I told them what the project was. We would talk about things over dinner and write them down, and we were having so much fun with it. I realized that 4 words really was a sweet spot. And you think about it, you've got four time, the four seasons, the four Beatles. There's so many ways that are four corners, a room has four walls. There are so many ways that our brains are really wired for balance within that four. It was really fascinating. And
A two
that
by two
was the
grids.
magic. There, yes, exactly. You think about it, it's like 2 by 4. You have so many references where we're really wired, and there's probably deeper meaning to that. My energy people in my life, can take me way down a path that, as I was thinking about it, what are some forward phrases that would really make a difference? And I had one guy who heard I was writing this book. He says, I just totally don't get this concept. I don't see how this would work. Can you give me an example? And I said, yeah, let's have a conversation. And I saw him go, let's have a conversation. In fact, I notice a lot of people will start doing this. I do. I was just like, oh, was that for? Do you see what I did there? And he sat back, and just to see his face, he goes, I haven't been doing that with my people. That would work. Let's have a conversation. So
Let's
that
talk about
was the
that.
genesis. Let's talk about that. We can solve this. I have some feedback. What's on your mind? There's a whole category of them, and I put as many of them in my book as possible. So the book started out being an answer to leaders, but it quickly morphed as I was talking to people and say, well, what about family members? And what about a family gathering? And what do you do? How do you build trust? So I've got a whole category of those phrases in the book to get people started and thinking about it, but it can be so much simpler than we think it is. And it's definitely a
Right.
strategy for calming the lizards in our brain.
That's for sure. Well, I'm imagining too, it would be great for salespeople too.
I want to say, being the author, it's great for everybody. But yeah,
Yeah, of
salespeople
course.
can use it too.
Excuse me. Okay, so we're getting close to our recorded time, but I want to ask you three questions that I ask everybody at the end
Okay.
of our interviews. Do you have anything to share before I do that, though?
Only my deep gratitude for the work that you're doing and your opportunity that you're providing for coaches to share their stories and come together in a community like this. Thank you
Well,
for
thank
serving women
you.
so well.
Thank you very much for being willing to come on and be vulnerable and authentic with your learnings. It's been wonderful. Okay, first question, close your eyes.
Close one. Okay.
Yep. Tell
Eye
me what,
closed.
yes, keep them closed.
Okay. All right.
Tell me what you see in your mind's eye when I say wise woman. Open your eyes and tell me about her.
I have a vision board that I did in the early 90s, and Bonnie Raitt is a central figure in that. And she speaks with so much authority and so much skill and wisdom. And she's now, I think, in her 80s. I heard a recent interview with her on Julia Louis-Dreyfus's, no, yeah, podcast. And I was just like, yeah, she's amazing. She's just really amazing and grounded and grateful. So she came to mind, her and the
Oh,
girl with the
that's
red hair.
great.
Yeah.
I know, I know. Okay, the next question is, where do you like to roam, Tucker?
I live in the Northwest. I'm just outside of Seattle, and we have throughout my neighborhood hiking trails. I'm so fortunate. They are up and down, so it's quite the workout. But I have beautiful views of Mount Rainier and Lake Washington and Puget Sound and the mountains, the Olympics and the Cascades everywhere I go. So, really, I like to roam in my own backyard. I'm
I
very
love
happy
that.
here.
That's wonderful. The last question is, what makes you restless, but in a really good way?
Gosh, that's good. In a really good way, there's so many things that make me restless. I would say I get antsy when I haven't been traveling, and it's always worth the effort and the time to do it. But before the pandemic, I traveled 70% of the time. I loved it. I hear from people all the time, it's a grind. It probably was. When I think about trying to travel that much again, it's hard for me to imagine how I did it. But I met wonderful people on the plane and where I ended up. And I was so blessed by those travel experiences, and I would like more of that.
Yes, I know. Being an ex cons well, I am a consultant still, but no longer the, Sunday through
Road
Thursday
warrior.
consultant.
Yeah.
It was a grind at some points, particularly when I had a year-long engagement and I only had to go to one place.
Yeah.
I liked it when I had multiple projects and I could go all over. But anyway, that was
Variety.
the good old days. Now it's travel only when necessary, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Tucker, for being on. By the way, I love your first name. It's
Oh, thank
awesome.
you.
It's
Thank you.
awesome. And thank you all for taking the time to listen to our conversation. I hope it's been of value to you. I will put Tucker's information in the show notes so you can get a hold of her and take a look at her book as well. Thank you, Tucker, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you very much.